Breakfast with Kane Corns and Andrew Hayes.
I'm better than ever, and I'm looking at you.
Big game coming up tomorrow night at Adelaide Oval. Historic game. First ever AFLW showdown. Port Adelaide taking on the Crows. We're going to speak to Lauren Arnell, the power coach, and also one of the best players in the AFLW, that is Ed Marinoff. We'll do all that before 8 o'clock, but time to talk some AFL trade with a man who's done it all. AFL coach, he's played over 200 games. He's part of the AFL Trade Radio setup. It is Brenton Sanderson. Sando, good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, thanks for joining us this morning. Firstly, does it feel like that this is building up to be one of the busiest trade periods of all time?
Yeah, it does. It seems like there's going to be a lot of things happening in Trade Week and a lot of players on the move. And we've been talking about it for a long time too. I think clubs and players and player managers are getting a bit more open now with their intentions a bit earlier. And I mean, it used to be the days, and I guess we'll still have some this year where some trades will get pushed through really late in the piece. But I think when Trade Week officially opens, I think we'll see a few deals done pretty early on.
So just before we start talking about some specific players, do you think that the AFL is maturing in this process where we're more open, we're more honest? Jack Graham can go look at a club even though he's got a year left to go in his contract. Port Adelaide can handle Carl Amon going to Hawthorn or negotiating mid-year. Are we at a stage now where it's handled much more professionally?
Yeah, I think so. And even the vision yesterday of Jack Graham visiting with Ken Hinckley and you know, having a tour through Port Adelaide, I think that would have been, you know, I mean, obviously it is still front page news, but that would have been frowned upon, particularly with a player under contract. But yeah, I think probably we're following other sports, particularly overseas, with the way that, and I guess it's been driven by free agency, where players, you know, do their 8 years, and then they've got the freedom to sort of pick a club that they want to move to. So I think as supporters, we'd love for players to stay at our clubs forever and be one club players, and that's still, I guess, the romance in our sport. But ultimately, I think, yeah, we're going to see a lot more player movement in the future.
Certainly agree with you there, Sando. So we'll continue on with Jack Graham. He's obviously been a very underrated player, I think, in his career to date. Do you think he'd be a good fit for Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think he's a good fit anywhere because of his experience. Obviously, his maturity. He's probably still got a couple of good seasons left. And obviously, being a South Australian, it would be a nice fit. I mean, when you look at Port Adelaide's profile, I still really like him. I think Port Adelaide will be a huge improver next year. I know they started the season off 0-5 and they were chasing their tail for most of the season and a few things didn't go right for them. But when you look at their profile, I still think they look really strong. I know they lose Carl Amon, which is a loss. He's had a couple of really good seasons. And, of course, Robbie Gray's a huge loss. Motlop is another one who's been an important player for Port Adelaide. But I just think with the young players coming through, I love their defence. I think they're set up really well structurally down back. They could probably use another one or two players in a variety of roles. But you know, I see Port being a big improver in 2023.
So we always sit here, Sando, and we say, "Oh, this club needs this sort of midfielder, or this club needs this sort of defender." So we're pretty open about that. Port Adelaide, well, they want a big defender. Who's firstly available, and who could they target? Because it seems like those big giant defenders that we're talking about, they're very much locked down and secured.
Yeah, you're right. They actually are really hard to find. And that's, I mean, nothing's really come out yet with the key defenders. It's sort of been, the discussion has been around midfielders, and it's unlikely that Port Adelaide, I mean, are going to be able to, you know, grab a ready-made A-grader key defender out of any club. They're just too valuable. But I don't know, I still obviously, like Tom Jonas and Aaliyah and Cleary, McKenzie, it's still a good back line. Is that the feel? Is the Port need another key back? Is that?
I think Kane sort of put it to Chris Davies a couple of days ago, and he said, oh, look, I think you need a key defender to take the pressure off guys like Aaliyah and maybe Tom Jonas. Yep. And maybe Tom Jonas could sort of switch to that third tall type setup. To which he said yes, but then we just sort of started crunching it from there. And we've been talking about Brennan Cox, but it would take almost everything to get him out of Fremantle. Gibbsy mentioned Zane Gordy. There's just, like you mentioned, there's not too many key defenders who are ready to go and tradable.
No, they're just really hard to find. And particularly, like I said, to wedge them out of the club, you'd have to be extreme circumstances, I think. Well, my personal opinion, and I might not be right, is I think sometimes with your key forwards and your key backs, you've just got to draft them. You've got to draft them at 18 and develop them. And we know they take 2 to 3 years, and sometimes longer. And you also sometimes have success with almost a failed forward going down back and being successful playing in that sort of key defensive post. So sometimes we just got to get creative, you know. And I know Port Adelaide haven't got probably that option, you know, with Dixon, Georgiades, Marshall, Finlayson. They're probably all natural forwards, but if there's someone on the list there, they could potentially switch back. But yeah, I think the best option. And I know Port want to win straight away, and that's sometimes the challenge is if you're right in that window and you feel like your squad profile is ready to go. Sometimes you got to bust the bank to get something that you really need. And we saw what Geelong did with Jeremy Cameron. I mean, people were up in arms when they gave up 3 first round picks for Jeremy Cameron. But I mean, he kicked 60 goals this year. Him and Tom Hawkins in that forward line with Stengel at ground level kicked over 160 goals between those 3 players. So sometimes you just got to take a punt, and it obviously paid off for Geelong, but it hasn't paid off for other clubs that have sometimes taken that risk to give up future picks and first rounders to try and get instant success.
So, Senna, let's move on to the Crows. We know they're pretty much all in for Isaac Rankin and potentially looking to, you know, put a lot of his money through the first couple of years, him being at the club. Is there anyone else that they could pick off in this trade period, or just with them going so heavily for Rankin that there's just not going to be much room to go after anyone else? And if there is someone, who do you think would fit their mould at the moment?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, everybody's after DeGoey, but I think he's probably going to stay in Melbourne. I think if I was a betting man, I'd say he stays at Collingwood, you know, regardless of those contract discussions that we've heard. But I don't know. I love the way the Crows play. I thought they did a fantastic job this year. I know they didn't finish the season strong in that last showdown, but I reckon their style of play is really good. I just think that's just got to... I know it's been a sort of a long, slow rebuild for Crows supporters, but I just like the way they play. I think they play the right style. They're contested. They're tough. They run really hard from contest to contest. So, yeah, I don't know. I think we've just got to keep being patient. I know Crows fans won't want to hear that, but I know the one that's been talked about leaving is Matt Crouch. I know he sort of couldn't find a way to sort of get in that best 22. When you look at the style of their midfield, they're probably all a bit the same. So maybe if they targeted a bit of speed in the midfield, I know that's probably no secret for Crows fans and for you guys over there, you probably already know that they would be looking to target some midfielders with speed. I think that would be the missing link for them.
Is someone like a Quinton Narkle, is he someone that could be targeted by clubs?
For sure. I really like him, man. Geelong fans were always a bit bemused why he couldn't get a regular game for Geelong. And obviously now he's been let go. So you're sort of getting for nothing, really. So it's probably worth taking a punt on someone like Narkle. I think he's exciting. He's a great decision maker. He hits the scoreboard. So, yeah, it's an unusual one because Geelong rarely let good players go. I know this time last year they let Constable go to the Gold Coast Suns, and I thought he was a really good player, but then he just couldn't find a way to get a regular game at Gold Coast either. So obviously Stephen Wells is the master and he knows what he's doing. He's the list manager at Geelong. So perhaps they know something that we don't. But yeah, I can't see why Narkle wouldn't be a great fit anywhere. And yeah, the Crows would be a great option for him.
And just to finish off, I just want to talk about your comments about Carlton, Sando. You're very bullish about him, and I share a very similar view, albeit I'm a little bit biased probably, but yeah. You're pretty bullish on him leading into next year.
Yeah, I am. I think the thing I like about Carlton is they're still really young. When you look at their squad, and they are packed through the midfield, you know, like Cripps, Walsh, Chera, Hewitt, Kennedy, they brought in some fantastic players, and even their depth players like Paddy Dow was a former pick 3, Will Setterfield they're talking about potentially trading, but I really like him. And then their forward line is stacked as well, like with McKay and Curnow, Silvani. Jack Martin, and of course down back as well with Wiedering, Williams, Newman. Obviously, Sard's a really important player. Doherty had a really good season coming back from his cancer problems. I just think they're young. They played some great footy this year, and just those last couple of hurdles they couldn't overcome. They had two really narrow losses, which sort of kept them out of the eight. Well, they actually finished the season out of the eight when they were in the eight all season up until the last almost kick of the game that knocked them out. So yeah, I think if they have a really strong summer, and that'll obviously hurt them a little bit the way the season finished, I think Carlton will be a massive improver again, and I expect them to finish in the top four next year.
And mate, lastly, you spent such a big chunk of your life at the Cats, and no doubt part of this really strong family that is Geelong. To win the flag, what does it mean to you? And also a word on Joel Selwood.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I know. Time goes so fast in footy. Like it's been 11 years since Geelong won their last flag. So there's a lot of young kids who are Cats supporters who have never seen a flag, which is crazy to think after that dominance. Or that sort of purple patch period from sort of 07 to 2011, where they played in four grand finals for three wins. But yeah, it was awesome. It's fantastic for Chris Scott and those players that like Duncan and Hawkins and Selwood that sort of stuck around for those 10 years where they were so close every year. Some prelim final losses, a grand final loss to Richmond a few years ago. So yeah, it's awesome to see those people get rewarded with success. And you're right about Selwood. I mean, we're probably so lucky to see probably, I think, the greatest Cat of all time. And that's over 125 years. The only other player and coach who could sort of say that would be Reg Hickey, who played in two premierships. He was captain coach in one and he coached another two. So he and Joel Selwood are the only Cats with four premierships as coach or player. But I think Joel's just something special. It's not the talent. I mean, the Ablets are probably the ones with the talent. But when you look at his record, 355 games, he had 214 Brownlow votes too. And I guess it's the only thing that's missing from his trophy cabinet now. He's a premiership captain, four times premiership player. He came second to Gary Ablett in 2013 with 27 votes in the Brownlow. He came second by one vote. And I think that's probably the only thing. If I look back, and that was an incredible season he had that year. I just think he probably that would have been the icing on the cake if he was a Brownlow Medal winner too. But I think what will happen in a few years' time, he'll go in the Hall of Fame, and then a few years after that, he'll be elevated to legend status. So yeah, an absolute superstar. So much influence at Geelong, incredible captain and leader, and really did change the culture as a young man back in that sort of period of sort of 2007, 2008.
There you go. Very, very special character. Mate, we appreciate your time this morning. We're looking forward to a trade period getting underway on Monday and listening in, and hopefully we can catch up with you again really soon.
Yeah, beautiful, boys. Thanks again for having me on.
Brendan Sanderson joining us this morning. So there you go. That's as high praise you could possibly get, I reckon, for Joel Selwood, and deservedly so.
Well, he's not the only one to say that this week, with Chris Scott also coming out and saying he's the best player he's ever seen. And you think of some of the players, Chris Scott played with his time at the Lions. So, it's no surprise that Sandoz pumps Selwood's up again.
Speaking of absolute greats, Michelangelo Rucci joins us next on 1629 SNSA at 17 minutes past 7, top of 20 across Adelaide.